I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Isaiah 62. Isaiah chapter 62. I'd like to look at a couple of verses of Scripture, verse 11 and 12. Isaiah 62, verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. This morning, I come with a proclamation from the Lord. And here's what it says. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. But let me ask you this. It says the Lord hath proclaimed. That's right. The Lord hath proclaimed. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. The sheep hear the voice of the Lord. How? Well, look at the next word after the word world. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye. God has called preachers. And this is how the Lord speaks to his people. When the scriptures declare that the sheep hear the voice of the Lord, here's how they hear it. They hear it with this ear as they hear the gospel preached. We're bound to give thanks to God for you, beloved of the Lord. For God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, and hath called you by our gospel. God's sheep hear the voice of the Lord with an ear, a corporal ear, but with a new ear of the heart. It's the hearing ear, that seeing eye and that hearing ear that the Lord has given his people in regenerating grace. They hear the voice of the Lord. You say, well, I hear Marvin speaking. Yeah, but if this is all you hear, you're not hearing him. As a preacher stands and proclaims the gospel from God's word, they hear the voice of the Lord. The Lord hath proclaimed. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them but believe. God sends a preacher. The Lord has been pleased to bless his word by the gospel. And whenever God Almighty sends a gospel preacher, and all gospel preachers preach the same thing. They preach the gospel of God's sovereign grace, sovereign saving grace. Whenever a man stands and proclaims the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that message that is proclaimed is set forth by that man who is a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, then we're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. When the Lord sends preachers. They are sent, empowered, and speak for the Lord. I'm just a spokesman. I'm a voice. I'm a man that God has called to preach the gospel. And this gospel is our gospel, Paul says, but it's ours by the gift of God. It's His gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let's consider that the Lord has proclaimed, the Scripture says, unto the end of the world, not only to all parts of the world, but until the end of in time. We're sent into all the world. You preach the gospel to all men. And Isaiah says, this is the message, this is the proclamation that God's preachers. You say to the daughter of Zion, you proclaim to a particular people, I've got a message for God's people. Now, who are these people? Well, according to the Scriptures, they're God's elect. They're the bride of Christ. They're the strangers that are scattered throughout all the world. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, given to the Lord Jesus Christ from before the foundation of the world. You say to the daughter of Zion, of the holy city. And what do we say? Lord, what is the message? Here's the message. Behold, thy salvation cometh. He coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Who is she? I know that the Lord has a people. It's scriptural. God has an elect. They're the ones that Christ said, I'm praying for. That's John 17:9. I pray not for the world, but I pray for those that you've given me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me. I pray for them. All power is given unto the Son, that he should give eternal life. This is 17:2. To as many as thou hast given him. Sheep. John 10:15. I lay down my life for the sheep. The sheep. You say to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Where is she? Well, she's in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. She's scattered throughout all this world, and I don't know who she is, but the Lord does. And so what are we to do? You to preach the gospel. I don't know who the Lord has everlastingly loved, but I can tell you this, whoever they are, they're going to hear the gospel of God's sovereign grace. They're going to hear that message that Almighty God has everlastingly loved them. And that Christ has everlastingly stood as their surety. And that Christ has betrothed himself to her eternally. That she's always been in him. And he died for her because he loved her. And the Spirit of God is going to bless that message to God's sheep. The Lord said, you tell the daughter of Zion. Who is she, Lord? You preach. I'll call her out. I'll bring her to myself. You tell her thy salvation cometh. Salvation is not an event. I know we think about that. I got saved. Salvation is a person. Thy salvation, he's coming. He's coming. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We're a week closer to our salvation coming than last Sunday. And His reward is with Him. And His work, His recompense, His reward is before Him. All of the promises are going to be manifested to God's sheep. Who are you? You're heirs of God. And joint heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. You know, there's times that we quote these scriptures, and there's times that I just stop for just a second, and I think, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. And this scripture right here says, that which He has earned by His obedience, by His sacrifice, His reward, He's going to have her. He's going to have her. And verse 12 says, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, a people that have been separated by God and for God. This is what it means, sanctified, set apart, separated. Out of the same lump, every man and woman came forth. We're made out of the same lump. And before Almighty God ever created one man, Almighty God said, according to His good purpose, Ephesians 1, you're mine. You're mine. I'm going to separate you. Why would God do that? He did it according to the purpose of His own will. What can we say? This is what the Lord has said. Listen to Jude 1. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I'm so thankful that Almighty God would have mercy on His people. That's who He said, I'm going to have mercy on. I'll have mercy and compassion on whomsoever I will. And whomsoever I will, He said, I'm going to harden. God is just. He's a just God and a Savior. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, now listen to this, sought out. That's going to be your name, sought out. What's your name? Sought out. Sought out, that's my name. A city not forsaken. Now it's right here that the Lord declares His people to be sought. I like the way, I thank the Lord, let me say it like this, for the way He said this. She was sought out. He didn't just say sought, though she was. She was sought out. It's a word that is diligent. Diligent search. Oh, I have to give you this illustration I just thought of. I'll ask Glenda sometime, where's so-and-so in the refrigerator? Where's so-and-so? She'll say, in the refrigerator. I don't see it. And she'll come over, looking at me, and just, yeah. She said, if it doesn't wave to you, ask her. Ask her if she doesn't say. She said, Margaret, if it doesn't wave to you, you don't see it. Sought out. I was looking, but I just didn't see it. She shall be called sought out. Why? Because she's a precious possession. Nothing can hide us from the preciousness of His love. No filth of sin can conceal us from Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. The daughter of Zion is His kingdom. Now I want us to just look for just a few minutes at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 and verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. This is I think a precious passage of Scripture, a parable that our Lord used to prove what we just read in Isaiah 62. You tell the daughter of Zion, she's a sought out city. Not going to be forsaken. Sought out. Look at Matthew 13, 44 for a few minutes. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now, the Lord's kingdom is His treasure. The Lord's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure. God's people, God's church, she's a treasure, and she's hid in a field. Now just look back up at verse 38, just a few verses back. The Scripture tells us what the field is. The field is the world. Now, where is the Lord's treasure? Well, she's hid, the Scripture says, in the world. Now, there's something I want you to look at just a second, where it says that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. See that word, hideth? It's the same word. It's the same word, but it has a little bit of a different meaning. Same word. But the word hid, the treasure that's hid in the field, that word means concealed. Concealed. Okay? But of that other word, hideth, it means to keep secret. One means that she's concealed somewhere, and the other word, hideth, it means to keep something known, secret. The treasure, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure that's hid in a field. Now here's the treasure. It's concealed in this world, hidden from the eyes of the world and until conversion, from even the eyes of the treasure herself. Before the Lord calls His people out of darkness, does she know who she is? Until the Lord revealed Himself to me, I didn't know anything. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't care. I did not care. I went to church because my mama made me. And if I could think of a good reason not to be there, I'd use it. I didn't care. But until the Lord was pleased to show me Himself, I was still kept. kept by the power of God. He who would not let me perish. But the scripture says, the kingdom of heaven like unto a treasure concealed, the which when a man hath found. It cannot be said that the Lord discovered something. In time, that can't be. Because God doesn't change. He's always known. But when it pleased him to manifest this to her, it's like when the Lord says, deliver them from going down to the pit, I found a ransom. You think God just discovered one day that there was a ransom? No. When he was pleased to manifest. But this man, the which when a man, and what man could find the treasure hid in a field, but the God man, the man Christ Jesus. I can tell you this, the treasure couldn't find itself. The treasure's dead in trespasses and sins. Treasure's not looking for itself. It has the same attitude that I do. It doesn't care. Perfectly satisfied, thinking itself to be okay. Oh, but when the one who has found the treasure, that is, the one who eternally found her as the gift of the Father, the one who found her as the bride, everlastingly. I can't speak eternal. I don't know how to say it. I speak the words of God's word. When he was pleased to redeem his treasure. The scripture says, he hideth. He hideth. Now there's that word, again, I was telling you, it means to keep secret. To keep secret. He hideth. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, the scripture said he made himself of no reputation. He came into this world as a root out of dry ground. Isaiah 53 says, he who hath no form nor comeliness, that when we see him, there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. But he came into this world and hideth. Why? Because there's a treasure in the world. And they're his treasure. And he loves her. And he's going to have her. He's going to redeem her. That's the proclamation that the Lord told Isaiah. You make this proclamation. You're the redeemed of the Lord. You're the sought out. You're the city not forsaken. Hold your place right there for a second. Turn to Luke 10:17. Luke 10:17. Here's this treasure. She's hid. She's concealed. Concealed from herself and everybody else. The Lord knows. He found her. Found her in electing grace. And he hideth. He keeps something secret. What does he keep secret? He keeps it secret that he's coming for her to everybody else except to her. There's the treasure in the world, in the field. And he hideth. He comes secretly to tell her something. Luke 10:17. And the 70 returning again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you something to rejoice about. You rejoice that God chose you before the foundation of the world. You rejoice because your name was written everlastingly. I told you how I grew up, you know, being told that every time somebody gave their heart to Jesus, that a recording angel wrote their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Show me that scripture. Show me that scripture. No, I'll show you where those names were written from before the foundation of the world. They've always been there. There's no entries. There's no new entries. No. The entries that were there eternally are the entries that are there now. You rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You set forth to the daughter of Zion, the sought out one, that she's the redeemed of the Lord, the kept. The kingdom of heaven, like a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. For joy. For the joy that was set before him, the joy of finishing the work given him by the Father, the joy of the redemption and salvation of his people, for the joy of saving, redeeming, and saving her, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy, he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. What does that mean? That means he gave himself. He gave all. Came into this world, honored the law, and laid down his life. Endured. Suffered. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he sold all he had. He became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Not that he was ever not the Lord, he was. But he humbled himself. He said of himself, I am a worm. Lord, as you say, it is. He selleth all he hath and buyeth that field. I thought you said the field was the world. It is the world. I know it's the world. And I'll tell you what. He made it and he bought it by his precious blood. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. He bought the field. He bought the world. Not in the sense that he redeemed every man out of the world. Doesn't say that. But by his obedience and death, the Father giving him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as were given him, he has the right to do whatsoever he pleases. I'll tell you this, if he leaves one to himself in rebellion, he has the right to do that. Let me tell you where men make a big, big mistake, is they call into question God's will. Apostle Paul said in Romans 9, who art thou, O man? O man, that repliest against God. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? You give me an answer. Oh, may the Lord deliver us from that thought. I heard someone say one time, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to ask the Lord, why did you let this happen? I thought to myself, are you kidding me? Do you realize you stand before God with that attitude? Romans 9:21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Matthew 20:15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? He bought the field. Ezekiel 18:4 says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. A man's going to stand before God in himself or in a substitute. And I'm going to tell you something. His eternal destiny will be determined in that. Daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Ye are the holy people of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Lord, bless the word to our hearts. Lord, give us understanding. Lord, keep us from ourselves. Lord, keep us from the thoughts of our arrogancy before you, for Christ's sake. Amen.